Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys are hoping that new coach Mike McCarthy will be able to recreate the championship success he had in Green Bay. Recent Super Bowl champ Andy Reid believes McCarthy is capable of that. Reid said that the year off between the Packers job and the Cowboys job will help McCarthy, and you can expect an even better version of him in Dallas. So, Shannon, will McCarthy be better in Dallas than he was in Green Bay?
I don't think so. And then Andy Reid saying this, coaches always speak very glowingly and high, even coaches that can't coach or aren't very good. Oh, he's great. For me, for Mike McCarthy, Skip, the guy had 13 years. He had two generational quarterbacks, and he went to and won one Super Bowl. Is that the mark of a good coach? Mm-hmm. Really? Now, George Seifert had two generational quarterbacks. He won two Super Bowls and lost the championship game on a fumble by Roger Craig in 1990. Skip, you remember the game?
I do.
But when George Seifert went to the Carolina Panthers, how'd that work out for him, Skip? I think he was 7-9, 8-8, and 1-15, and that ended it. And George Seifert never coached again in the NFL.
Okay.
So how good a coach is Mike McCarthy? Now, this is what we do know. He's going to a situation where the quarterback he currently has isn't comparable to those two he just left.
The one you keep saying deserves $40 million.
I'm talking. It's my turn.
Different day.
New day, new topic.
New day.
Yep.
I'm saying is that Mike McCarthy had Brett Favre, and then he transitioned right into Aaron Rodgers. Very few quarterbacks have been able to do that, Skip. I don't know if there's ever been a coach, because you remember, Skip, after he won in 88, Bill Walsh retired after they beat the Bengals. Mm-hmm. George Seifert took over in 89. They beat the Broncos, lost the championship game. And then in 94, they beat San Diego in the Super Bowl. But we've never seen this, where I'm talking about boom, boom, and that's the same coach. He had Brett Favre, three-time MVP, Super Bowl winner. Okay. And he had two-time MVP, Aaron Rodgers. And he got to and won one Super Bowl. How good a coach is he, Skip?
My turn?
No, it's not your turn. So he's going to a situation.
Unbelievable.
He's going to a situation.
I keep getting asked questions, and I can't
You're
speak.
Opening the door, Shannon.
He's going to a situation where the quarterback is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Brett Favre. So we'll get an opportunity to see how good Mike McCarthy is. But I will say this. The hedge has been removed because every time they lost a game, it was because of Jason Garrett. The defense played horrible. Well, Jason Garrett didn't get them motivated. The offense didn't play well.
Okay.
Well, it was Jason Garrett overruled Kellen Moore and what Kellen Moore wanted to do.
Okay.
That hedge has been removed. So we're going to see just how talented this team is, mm-hmm. and just how good this team is, mm-hmm. with Mike McCarthy, because there's no more excuses that can be placed on the head coach.
I will buy only that. No more excuses. Mike McCarthy is now the head coach of my Dallas Cowboys.
True.
And I am here to teach you how he is going to be even better than he was at his best in Green Bay. I'm going to remind you that Mike McCarthy did take last year off, and he didn't move to Florida like most of them do and play golf, or California or Arizona. He actually teamed up with Pro Football Focus to go second and third level analytical study. He actually brought in three ex-head coaches to sit with him on a daily basis and break down tape of what works in today's National Football League that I can take into my next job.
Not get massages on Saturday before
walk through. He did do that. I agree with you, and I think he got a little complacent, a little full of himself, and he did win the one Super Bowl.
Correct.
And I think you can argue it went to his head. You can argue a lot of different mm-hmm. things. But the point is this. I believe what happened the last 2 years, falling completely apart with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. humbled him to the mm-hmm. point he said, I need to refigure out how to do this. His coaching lineage is highly impressive from all the West Coast coaches
that he
coached from going back to the Walsh 49ers. Mm-hmm. So he has a legacy behind him mm-hmm. of deep knowledge. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he's brought this to Dallas. Okay, now, here's my counter to your point about George Seifert.
Okay.
Help me out here. You won your first Super Bowl with, who was your coach?
Mike Shanahan.
Thank you. Was Mike Shanahan on his second NFL stint?
Absolutely.
He was. Yep. He had been the Raiders coach under Al Davis and had fallen completely apart with Al Davis and wound up in Denver, and magic happened,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
If John had stayed another year, I don't know, maybe you'd won three. Who knows?
Right.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So now let's go to the second. I'm going up the list, okay? Dick Vermeil had coached the Eagles. He did get to a Super Bowl, but he didn't win one. Then he took a while off. And then he came back in his second NFL stint, having learned what he learned in Philly. And what happened with the St. Louis Rams?
He won the Super Bowl.
Oh, interesting. Bill Belichick started out with the Cleveland Browns. They were just mediocre. Mm-hmm. They made one playoff. Yeah. They had one playoff game in, or two, I guess it was. Made the playoffs once in 5 years.
They did beat Parcells.
Yep, they did. Okay, and then what happened in New England, you know the rest of the story, right? Second NFL stint.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to keep going up the ladder here to the fourth one. John Gruden, I covered in Oakland, fell completely apart with Al Davis, got traded to the Bucs, and what happened the next year? Second NFL stint, he won the Super Bowl, right? Let's keep going up the list, shall we? Let's go to the great Tony Dungy. He was pretty good in Indy, but no.
No, you mean he was really good in Tampa.
I mean Tampa. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Pretty good in Tampa.
He was?
And he left the cupboard full for John Gruden.
Yeah.
But then second NFL stint, what happened?
Peyton.
He and Peyton went and won the Super Bowl together. Let's keep going up the list. Tom Coughlin, he was pretty good in Jacksonville. He gave you the worst loss of your career.
He did.
In a first-round playoff game at home in Denver. You
Correct.
Still haven't gotten over that
nope.
game, right?
Nope.
But he didn't break through until he got his second NFL job with the New York Football Giants, right?
Right.
Pete Carroll, he had a first go-round, obviously.
He had two go-round.
But he had New England Jets back-to-back,
right.
and they were short-lived.
Correct.
Right? Then he goes away and coaches USC, and we know that was great. And then he comes back for his second go-round in the NFL, and what happened? Super Bowls happened, right?
Yep.
Okay, where does that leave us? Gary Kubiak, you know Gary very well because he was your backup quarterback.
Yep.
And he started out and wasn't very good in Houston.
My OC also.
Okay, he was your OC. Uh-huh. And he got fired, and then his second NFL stint was with the Broncos, 2015. It happened. Am I right? I'm going now. I'm showing you second stints.
Okay.
16 of the last 23 Super Bowl winning coaches. Think about this. 16 of 23 were all on their second go-round in the NFL when they won their Super Bowl.
I can point to you. All the guys you mentioned either had Hall of Fame-worthy QBs or transcendent defenses. Tampa.
Sure. Okay, I'll give you that. But you need that.
You can't just
snap your fingers.
So let me ask you a question.
You know, overachieving teams don't go win the Super
Bowl.
It's just too hard.
Let me ask you a question. So what do the Cowboys have? Do they have a Hall of Fame-worthy quarterback or a transcendent defense?
They have a transcendent offense.
No.
Yes, they do. Well, it was last year. They put up historic numbers.
But you got to have a historic quarterback. You look at what Coach Dungy got when he got to Indy. Mm-hmm. You look at what Coop, even though Peyton wasn't Peyton, he had a defense. You look at all the guys, Coach Belichick. You look at Pete Carroll. Quarterback, defense. Now, if you're going to tell me Dak Prescott's going to turn out to be one of these Hall of Fame-worthy quarterbacks, or the defense is going to be the Bucks, or the defense is going to be the Broncos of 2016, okay, well, you got me.
Hmm. How did Kansas City just win the Super Bowl? Was it really with defense? I think it was mostly with offense.
Well,
right?
The defense was substantially better than upgraded.
Better. Okay.
But on my homeboy.
Was it all-time great?
So nope. Hold on. Are you saying Dak is my homeboy? Now, if you tell me that, Skip, I'm done. I'm out of here.
You keep telling me day after day after day that Dak Prescott is so good that he deserves $40 million, that he deserves by far the most money in pro football.
No, Skip, what I say is that he deserves market value. And you
market value for a mediocre quarterback.
No. It might be for a mediocre, but market value for a free agent quarterback is something entirely different.
Okay, what did you tell me yesterday? Dak has won two division
titles. Rookie of the year.
And made two Pro Bowls.
Two
Pro Bowls. Okay, who's to say he's not on a Hall of Fame arc that will start right now with the guy who coached Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers?
Say that again, he on the what?
Hall of Fame.
That's worth $42 million. I'm glad you told me because you say you were doing this on projections. So projections says Hall of Fame, Jenny.
Okay.
Woo! I'm glad you said that. You heard him.
Was I the only one who picked the Dallas Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl last year?
Not.
I was not the only one.
Many.
So there were some experts far smarter than I am who said, hey, this team's loaded, especially on the offensive
but
side.
But guess who the guy, the smartest expert was that say the Cowboys was going to go 8-8 and not win the division?
Oh.
Well, hate will inspire you to do a lot of things, right?
But you're right. Yep. Driven, yep.
Oh, so
what?
Now,
driven.
So
by
now
hate.
I'm hating her.
Okay. So I agree with you. The annual NFL Combine is an off-season convention where everybody feels good and speaks good. You know, they all, so Andy Reid.
Sure.
Again,
they
I
probably had cocktail at elbows.
I didn't even finish
not?
Off the list because the key to my list, the ninth guy on the list, was just it just happened. And he was speaking of Mike McCarthy because Andy Reid. He tried and he tried and he tried and he just kept running right into that closed door in Philadelphia, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And he was too much of a player's coach and too much this and too much that. And you can argue he got the Mahomes boy because he was the one who traded up to go snatch him.
Go get it.
Okay? But it was his second time around after he had learned all he had learned that didn't work in Philadelphia that did work in Kansas City, right?
Right.
So is Mike McCarthy... Is he a good football coach? Sure, he's a good football coach. So Mike McCarthy is 10-8 in the postseason. And he didn't just coach the Bengals in the postseason or Jacksonville in the postseason. He coached a team that is nationally known with a national or maybe international fan base.
You mean
just
a,
like the Dallas Cowboys
have.
You
mean have. To tell me he lost 8 playoff games with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers?
Yep.
What would we think about the 49ers?
Okay.
With Joe Montana and Steve Jones with only one Super Bowl.
I'm just giving you experience of getting teams ready to play 18 playoff games with the pressure of Packer Nation on your shoulders. It's a la Dallas. It's what you feel like when you're getting them ready to play others in the playoffs, and over that stint, Jason Garrett was 2-3 in the playoffs. Meanwhile, Mike McCarthy got the Packers to 4 NFC championship games, so at least he knows what it's like to get ready for an NFC championship game. Jason Garrett got them to no championship games. So Jason Garrett...
What do you expect with Romo and Dak?
Okay, but think about this. Jason Garrett has coached one more playoff game than Mike McCarthy has coached NFC championship games. It's way more experienced. I'm on the record. Mike McCarthy is a better football coach than Jason Garrett. Mike McCarthy will help my team far more next year than Jason Garrett ever did.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Mike McCarthy, is he Andy Reid?
He would turn into Andy Reid. I never liked Andy Reid. I still am not completely sold on Andy Reid.
You should be sold. Let me ask you, is he Mike Tomlin?
Is he Mike Tomlin? He could be. Well, he does have one Super Bowl. He did do that, right?
Yeah.
And remember, he coached a road playoff team, a wild card team. When they won the Super Bowl, they had to win 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl.
I tell you what, I'm going to wrap it up like this here. How many games has Mike McCarthy won in which Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre wasn't his quarterback? He did have that one game when Matt Flynn played out of his mind.
Yeah, he did.
But when Brett Hundley came in or someone came in other than Rodgers and Favre, things didn't go well. Look at what Mike Tomlin's doing with Roethlisberger. He got Mason Rudolph. He got had Joshua Dobbs. He got guys that probably shouldn't even had a dude named Duck. He had a dude starting winning the game in the NFL named Duck.
Okay. What did you constantly tell me to defend Aaron Rodgers? You said he had no defensive help. Well, maybe Mike McCarthy didn't have any defensive help because he's the play caller, right? Maybe it's Ted Thompson's fault all those years.
No.
Yes.
No.
Sorry.
This
trend is screaming that I just showed you. Second stint. They learn their lesson, and then all of a sudden they say, okay, now I get it. Now I know what to do.
Oh, now I get it. You need a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback because that's what Mike got when he came to Denver. He got 7.
Who's to say my quarterback won't become Hall of Fame?
You say it again.
Who's to say?
Todd Frans, you listening? Skip Bayless say he believes you're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's worth $40 million alone. No mercy.
In his 4th spring training with the Mets, Tim Tebow has a first. Yesterday, the 32-year-old Heisman winner hit his first spring training home run, which was also his first extra base hit in spring training. Tebow signed with the Mets in 2016, but has yet to make his major league debut. So, Shannon, I start with you. Does Tebow have a future in baseball?
Not the major. A career minor leaguer, not what he chose to be. I mean, normally by this time, everybody was like, okay, no, it's over for you. He's about to be 33 years of age, Annie. Mm-hmm. Last year at 32, he hit 163. Name the guy that would have been invited back after hitting a number like that, Jenny.
Well, if he was a bonus baby who just had a bad year up the minor league ladder.
He's had bad years.
Okay.
Skip, he's 30 plus. Skip, I would concede this. If he's 19, 20, I give you that. You got me. Give him a couple more years. Skip, yeah. He about to be 33. Now, here's a guy.
Go ahead.
As big as he is, he doesn't hit for power. Oh, you skip. Look at him. He hits a home run every 52 at-bats. If he was in the majors, that's seventh worst. Mm. Slugging percentage for a guy his size.
Okay.
What's Tebow, 6'2 and a half, 6'3, 250? 338. That's in the minors now.
Okay.
Not the big boys. The big boys go up there. And I like that's like averaging 6 points a game on JV. And they say, man, I deserve my shot at the varsity. Third worst, 338 slugging percentage. Has his power stood out? What has stood out other than his name? Say his name is Stanley Smith. He hitting 163 at 32. Where is he at next year, Skip? Okay, let's say his name, David Durrance. And he's slugging 333. Where is he at?
His name isn't whatever.
Nope. Exactly. So, in other words, it's not his ability.
Tim Smith or Joe Jones. Oh. It's Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. So it's not his ability. It's his likability. Mm. You see what I'm saying? You see what I did there, Jenny? That's what it is. Okay, go ahead, Skip. You take it away.
Maybe it's his it factor.
What it?
Maybe it's the fact that wherever he was in college or pro football or high school football, he won and he won and he won some more. And maybe it's that his agent, I'm going to give you this, you can say this is complete hypocrisy, but his former agent, Brody Van Wagenen, is now the GM or the sort of, he's running the New York Mets. I don't know exactly what his title is, but right. He's the primary decision maker for the New York Mets. Right. Tim Tebow is in the Mets organization. But Brody at least knows that when the lights are the brightest, this guy has always been at his greatest.
Okay, I'm waiting for it.
Okay. So, well, you did see it. So, what do we have? Let's put this in scope here. Let's put it in perspective.
No, put
right?
it in a vacuum. You love vacuums.
I don't need a vacuum. I just need what happened to Tim Tebow. This is unheard of. Nobody would have ever had the audacity or the guts or the backbone to even try this. And that is, he stopped playing baseball at age 17 as a high school junior.
Okay.
So, he stunted his baseball growth because he just went all football. He made All-State in baseball as a junior in high school in Jacksonville. And then, all of a sudden, he abandons baseball until football abandoned him. And I still say, someday, 50 years from now, somebody, some expert will look back at this and say, wait a second, Tim Tebow led the Denver Broncos from 1-4 to a division title and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game? And he never got another chance to start in the NFL?
He got a chance.
He never got a chance.
He didn't get blackballed. He got opportunity.
Opportunity. Did he start another game at quarterback?
No!
No, he never got a chance. And it was sad, and it was pathetic, and it was egregious.
You know what? I love how you do this. You said, what other guy would subject himself to this? A lot of guys, if I'm a doctor or lawyer, and I can't find work in my said field, what am I going to do, Jenny? I'm going to find a way to provide and do something else. He can't find in his said field, which is football. Mm-hmm. But he has the luxury of being a TV personality. He can go right back to his job. Okay. Talking about.
No, he had the guts and the gumption to say, okay, NFL, and I was there at his little audition here at USC.
When
talked to him right after it, and I'm not close with Tim, but he said, I'm going to paraphrase it. He just said, this is my opportunity to show the NFL they were wrong. I'm going to have to take a completely different path into another sport. Well, it's impossible. Baseball is the hardest game to learn to play. It's why you have to spend, everybody spends X years in the minor leagues.
Let's get behind.
Time out.
Okay.
So let's think about his growth in baseball. Effectively, he's 22 years old in baseball years because most of the kids start at 18. Some don't start. If you do want to do college, a lot of the Vandy kids will stay 3 years.
Right. Well, you got to stay. Once you don't.
But even if we do bonus baby out of high school, high draft pick, he's the equivalent of a 22-year-old because he's only in his fourth minor league season.
Right.
So what happened, Mr. Sharp? He goes Class A, and then his second year he went Double A. And what happened at Double A? He made the All-Star team.
Well, they take five guys for a roster.
Okay.
So they ain't saying much.
He made the All-Star team. And again, he hit for some power because he had 734 OPS on base plus slugging. And it ranked 26th in the Eastern League. And you could say, oh, well, that's not very good. But they're a bunch of players. So It was way above average, and that combined with his clutch hitting stats, plus he's a decent defender. He can play left field. He can play a little right field.
Well, they don't put the best athletes in left field. They put them in right field and center. What's he playing?
He's functional on defense. He could play big league left field because it was once called by Lee Mazzilli the idiot's position. I don't know, this is way before your time.
Yeah.
But the point was, he's good enough to play at the next level, which is the
major. No, he's not.
So he got AAA last year.
And how'd he do?
And he broke his hand. You know,
okay. Has a baseball player ever broken his hand?
Sure.
Because I want to make sure that the things that are happening to him is only unique to him, that no other player. Because I can assure you, there are more players that in the minors that don't make it up to the majors as opposed to the other way around.
Okay.
So what's happening to him is not just unique to him.
So what did we see yesterday? He's facing a guy named Alex Wilson, who's been on seven big league teams, and will probably be in the Tigers, relief rotation. You know, he'll be in the bullpen. So what happened? He goes oppo, because that's where his power is, and he jacked it. He hit it pretty good. And I'm sure Brody Van Wagenen and other people in the Mets hierarchy said, okay, I see that.
I don't see
it. You can see it.
Stop it.
And you don't think if the Mets were in a playoff race and you could even use Tim Tebow as an occasional pinch hitter?
Stop it, Skip.
Hey, you don't think he'd get big hits? It's all he does. Look at him run around the
pitch. Oh, my goodness. Skip, he's not a professional hitter. Guys that they put in that role, pinch hit, that come in, they're professionals. Lou Williams is a professional scorer. Mm-hmm. Guys that come in, James White is a professional football player. He doesn't start, but he comes in and fills a role. Tim Tebow isn't that.
Tim Tebow is a professional magic maker. That's what he does. He makes magic. He did at every level of football. Makes plays. I don't know if we
Tim
have
Tebow
that touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas.
Tim Tebow is the professional.
I don't know if we have that, but I doubt it.
I
hope we have it.
Of course we have
it.
Of course we have it. This is the greatest play in NFL history. A dart. Demaryius, he's loose. It's overtime in Denver. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers
I'm not
in a playoff game.
You need to watch this show.
He's gone. I'm rolling on the floor.
Tim Tebow is a professional personality.
He's a professional
Jenny,
passer.
That's what he is. Jenny, you know it, Jenny.
Look at that throw.
Even Jenny.
I fall for it, though.
I know, Jenny. I understand.
Game winner.
There's nothing. There's nothing not to like about
Nicest
the kid.
Guy.
But at the end of the day, Skip, sports is not about likability. Sports is about doability. And he's not doing it.
Charisma.
It's
about box office. What do you think would happen if Tim Tebow were a Met? Would jersey sales go up? Help me out.
Yeah, are you trying to win games? Do you want to sell jerseys?
Both.
So let me ask you a question. If Tom Brady won six Super Bowls, but he was a jerk, you look at him any different? Because at the end of the day, everybody says, we don't need choir boys. We're trying to win games.
Yeah.
Come on, Skip.
You hate him already. How could you hate him anymore?
I didn't see you. No.
He's like the nicest guy who ever walked into a locker room, and you hate him.
This, Skip, you and I, we're out of that millennial. Because that's what millennials see. Truth-telling is hate. I tell you the truth. Oh, you hating. I say, Jenny, I like apples and oranges. Oh, you hating on bananas and plums. That ain't what I said. I said I like apples and oranges.
I hear that.
I like the way millennials think.
No, yeah. I don't.
Yep.
They're irrational.
I think I am a millennial, so you guys are.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I mean
it's automatic if you says, okay, I don't like this. Well, you don't. Well, why? Why can't just like this and not hate that? The two
I told
things
you from the start, the day we started this show back in 2016, we began to discuss this potential possibility. Because he had just had his audition right before we started on September 6th of 2016. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's obviously a long shot. I might even said long, long shot. This guy, I give a shot. And all of a sudden, he's still at it. He's risen to AAA, and you're starting to get a little nervous.
I ain't getting nervous.
Because he's right on track.
Potential. Michael, I had a coach tell me, say, son, you know what potential is?
Yeah.
Means you ain't done it yet.
Yeah, and then he got married fairly recently, and I thought, you know what? Is that going to end his baseball career? Because she's going to say, I don't want you riding buses.
Hold on. Mike Trout got married. And he hit
Wait. She's there.
Riding
the
buses.
Mike Trout. Hold on. Did Mike Trout come up in the minors? I'm trying to figure out who didn't come up in the minors. Name the player that didn't go spend no time in the minors.
Get married, it's better or worse. She's going to have to hang out for those triple games.
I think she's going to have to take some bus rides.
I mean, okay, I get it. Guys like Griffey might not spend but a couple of weeks in the minors, but they went down.
Yep.
Is he Griffey? Is he Mike Trout?
He is Tim Tebow, and don't you forget.
I forgot
he's still alive and well.
Whoa, Skip.
Alive and swinging.
I understand his Q factor. But see, the Q factor has to do with people recognition or likability. Mm. It got nothing to do with your ability to play a sport. Because at the end of the day, sports is about doing. See, you can.
How did he get the Q factor? He got it from making big plays in big games.
College. He came up college. And I get it, Skip. I get all that. You know, he's a likable guy. He's a likable guy. But Skip, the thing that I love most about sports, you can't talk about it. Mm. People can't say, ooh, I love him so much, he going to do it. No.
If only it worked that way.
He won, he won me over in the national championship college football game against my Oklahoma Sooners in Miami, in which they got the video at halftime of him screaming at his team, we're going to take the ball and we're going to ram it down their throats.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? They did just that.
And they lost. And I know the Jenny, they got it rolled up in Florida when they lost to Ole Miss. You will never see anybody that prepares as hard as me. You will never see anybody that works as hard as me. You will never see anybody that plays. I get all that.
What happened?
And then Alabama came down there in the championship game, and I saw him down there with the head.
Not after that.
Alabama. Oh, St. Nick.
After that.
What St. Nick do to
it? They went and won the championship.
In last game in the SEC, what old St. Nick do in the SEC championship and down in Atlanta? Old St. Nick went down there. What'd he do to him? Had him on the side like him and Urban. Urban quit. He beat Urban Meyer so bad, Urban quit. I got chest pains.
Really? Probably not the reason.
Now that we quit.
You know, I'll take pro football over college football.
Don't do that.
You know.
What I got to do with anything? Can we talk about pro football? We talk about college.
I'll take what he did in a playoff game against the Pittsburgh
He has
Steelers.
The it factor.
Okay.
He has it.
Timmy Smith. The most rushing yards in Super Bowl history, 200. Never played another game, Skip.
So?
Tim Tebow. Had that. Never played another game. No mercy.
How about this? On Friday, Patriots superfan Mark Wahlberg will be joining us live in studio to discuss all things Patriots and also where he expects Tom Brady to be playing next season. Maybe he's got a little insight
super,
for us.
Super duper fan.
I love it. I cannot wait.
Real fan.
That's so exciting. All right. How about what we saw, though, last night? Zion Williamson and LeBron James put on a show in L.A. Zion put up 29 points and 6 rebounds in a performance that included several high-flying dunks, but LeBron wouldn't be outdone, scoring a season-high 40 points that included his own highlight dunk on the way to a Lakers 118-109 win. We're now joined by Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes.
And by the way, time out.
Yeah.
This man is everywhere.
Yeah, you're busy.
This is Yahoo's Chris Haynes. This is FS1's Chris Haynes. This is TNT's Chris Haynes. He's interviewing the coaches between the quarters.
Yeah, I'm loving the sideline stuff.
And doing a number on them. Man, love it.
I appreciate it.
But the highlight last night, we're talking to who?
I haven't even asked the question, Shannon.
I wasn't going to bring that
up. So you have been busy on the sideline, and you see a different perspective in that way. But your biggest takeaway from the night?
Well, look, Zion Williamson, that was my first time seeing him live.
Really?
Really impressive.
I'm gonna say why, because
you know, when you're looking at somebody and they're putting up gaudy numbers, you look at who they're putting those numbers up against. And so I'm looking at some of the guys, and look, they're NBA players,
right.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I saw him moving Markieff Morris around. I saw him going straight at AD,
yep.
Finishing with the N1. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, if he can bully those guys around, like,
yeah.
There's nobody else in the league that can stop him just from a pound-for-pound basis. So the way he was able to go at some guys fearlessly was really impressed me. That lets me know that this kid is legit. But,
great
you
point.
Know, yeah, but LeBron, you know, he did his thing. Yeah, I think he was inspired by a bunch of different elements. You know, the fact that Lonzo is back, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram is back, Zion Williamson is being compared to him. And then they left Jrue Holiday on the island to guard LeBron James.
Who was one-on-one?
He's one of the best perimeter defenders out there. Mm-hmm. But there's still a size disadvantage there. And I think LeBron wanted to make sure he made, you know, that he made him pay.
Go ahead, Skip. Go ahead.
So, to your first point, I am here to make the case that Zion's performance last night was even more impressive than LeBron's performance, just on degree of difficulty for all the reasons each of you just made. The first point was that, remember, Zion's playing his 13th NBA game, okay? He's played a grand total of 370 NBA minutes. Think about this. LeBron James has played almost 1,500 NBA games, and he's played minutes 58,170, and he's still in peak condition, and knock on wood for him, he looks relatively healthy at this stage of this year. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes from here on. And he paid this 19-year-old in his 13th game the ultimate tribute last night because he came out and said, not at my house. Watch this. Mm-hmm. He went into all-out, full-on playoff game attack mode, in part because Alvin Gentry all but dared him to, because I just kept falling off my chair in my little office couch room that I watch it in my little man cave, saying, well, Alvin, just switch it up, or at least give him some help, because they're just saying, okay, thank you.
One-on-one.
Thank you. Drew Holiday goes 6'3", around 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. LeBron is 6'9", around, I'm going to go 260. I don't know exactly what he is. Maybe he's even more than that at this point. It was a complete and utter mismatch. And LeBron said, oh, really? Okay, thank you. And would you believe last night LeBron had four more dunks or layups than Zion had? Mm. What was Zion up against? He was up against the number one shot-blocking team in the whole NBA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he got three of his shots blocked, predictably, because he's 6'6". Yeah. But he kept fighting and scrapping and battling. And the referees said, young man, we love this. We are going to reward you. And they sent him to the free throw line 19 times, including 10 times in the fourth quarter. He did not turn his motor down in the fourth. He did not run out of any gas in the fourth quarter at 300 pounds, whatever he weighs. And that was highly impressive, that his energy level got even higher in the fourth quarter than it was in the first quarter. I'm going to give him that. LeBron, meanwhile, the refs are saying, this is absurd. We're giving you next to nothing. He shot two free throws the whole night and made one free throw and scored 40 points. It's hard to do, obviously.
It is.
But he pulled that off. So the kid shot 19 free throws, because the refs say, we reward. And LeBron, nah, we'll give you two. 19-2.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So degree of difficulty, when I look at the stat lines, it was Zion at age 19 in his 13th game. I'm going to go a little more impressive than LeBron's
well,
game.
Well, by that token, by you saying LeBron had 11, had beat him by four dunks to layups, mm-hmm. he should have shot at the bare minimum 19 free throw attempts. Mm-hmm. Because if he's going to the basket as much as more than Zion, I'm missing something.
But the refs are saying you're guarded by a gnat. That's what it is. It's a gnat, right?
Well, that's
Alvin. I don't know Drew's a gnat, but I get your point, Skip.
He's a comparative gnat to 6'9", 260.
But it looked like to me, Skip, that Alvin Gentry says, LeBron, we're going to make you a score. We're not going to bring the double team because we're not going to let you pay. Skip, he knows that he knows where it's coming from. So he's going to skip past you. He's going to hammer past you for a wide open three. So he says, Bron, we don't believe you can score like that like you used to. Because Skip, they would never let this man dribble one-on-one and back that man down. He would do it like Carmelo. You know, Carmelo used to do what he was with the Knicks and the Nuggets. Just back you down. Oh, you still not coming? Mm-hmm. And get on back, lay it up. And you see him take him to the hole, caught him a body. Now, Drew Holiday is an All-NBA defensive player.
He is.
First team,
yes,
second team. Is. And LeBron caught a body last night. I don't know if you could recover from this.
That would be like you taking me to the hole. Seriously. No, it was. Serious. That's the comparison.
So you're a gnat.
You taking me.
You're a gnat.
I'm a gnat compared to that.
But still,
I'm a strong gnat, and I'm an in-shape gnat, but I'm not that. I don't weigh 250.
No.
He shouldn't have jumped. What made it look bad? He jumped, too.
He did jump. But I'm going to say this. Look. We could talk about Drew being a gnat. He's one of the best defenders in there. Yeah. But look, Skip, come on.
Perimeter point guard defender.
Yeah, but he guards multiple positions.
Yeah.
He'll guard one or two.
I agree. Okay. He was at a disadvantage. Yeah. But I will say this, Skip, you bringing up comparing Zion and LeBron, you bringing up all these minutes LeBron done played, all the points or whatever. Why are we using that as a negative? The fact that this man has played, logged all those many minutes, played those many games,
and
scored those many, and still doing this at this point.
Okay, but if you bill it as a showdown between this poor kid in his 13th game.
Oh, he's a poor kid now.
Well,
he's a poor
13
kid.
Games. Look, think poor. About this.
That's a sizable.
He got no camp. He got no October, November. You know, he didn't get to ease into this. He got thrown into the fire of a pretty good young team.
Well, how about this here? Well, compared to him, LeBron and that compared to Zion.
What you got to say about that?
Yeah.
LeBron's got him by 3 inches and
He gave it up 40 pounds.
Maybe 40.
Yeah, exactly.
40 pounds. Man. Did I see LeBron one time try to guard Zion Williams? I did not. No. I wonder why that is.
But what?
Wouldn't want to get embarrassed.
Did you see
Zion? Wouldn't want to get moved around like Markieff got moved.
Did you see Zion jump out on LeBron? Mm.
He jumped out on him on the three-point line. And again, LeBron had it going last night because he had it both ways. Still, the greatest driver of the basketball I have ever seen. He's still the best driver and the best passer in basketball. But last night he said, no facilitating from me or very little. It wasn't the
He's tried to do that early, but they weren't making any shots. AD was struggling, Avery Bradley was struggling, and Paul Kuzma.
So LeBron found a rare hot streak from the three-point
line. It ain't rare.
Do you want my stat again?
No.
He's making 35%
That's pretty good.
Oh, really? Okay, so he's taken... Again, you have to go 340 or more attempts. These are the high-volume three-point. There are 31 of those guys. LeBron ranks 26 of the 31 in percentage.
Hmm.
So he's taking too many and missing too many.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Skip, if they're going to give it to him, he got to take it.
Yeah.
If you're going to let... If I'm LeBron and you the defender and you're going to just dare me to shoot, what am I supposed to do? Try to get past you?
Mm.
And now I get frustrated because I'm driving to the basket and you're not giving me a call.
So he had them both going last night, and it worked.
I have no problem with you saying that Zion's performance, a little bit in your eyes, outperformed LeBron. No problem with saying that. But don't disrespect that man over there. Don't disrespect number 23. What he did,
the guy you interviewed after the game. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
If New Orleans won, I would have been
fair.
Over there.
Fair.
I would have been over there.
He was good to you.
Hey, Chris.
He
was forthcoming.
Chris,
you know what I hear?
I appreciate it.
You know what I hear anymore? I sure ain't heard a whole bunch of Kawhi show better than LeBron. I heard a whole bunch of that talk.
Should we talk about
that? We ain't got there yet.
I heard a whole bunch of that talk.
We're going to have Chris stick around. Oh, and by the way, Zion LeBron.
Guard anybody who matters, like Jason Tatum. Did he guard Jason Tatum?
No.
You saw what he did to Jaylen Brown.
Mm.
At least.
What did he do to him? He ran from him. he literally ran the other direction and shot a fadeaway in which he had to jump backward 8 feet before he shot the basketball.
Made it rain, two came from the rafter.
Oh, that's good.
All right, we got Pelicans-Lakers Sunday as well. So let's get to see this all in action
again.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
So we got to do this all over again.
Over again,
at the other place.
Yeah,
it'll be a
little different then. We like smoothies. We'll pick up a big old smoothie.
This one won't go so smooth. No
mercy. On Monday, the Clippers played only their fifth game of the entire season with their full roster in a blowout win over the Grizzlies. The Clippers have seen Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and several other players all miss time this season. They are currently the 3 seed in the West and are 6.5 games behind the Lakers right now. So, Chris, when the Clippers are healthy, are they the best team in the West?
When they're healthy, are they the best team in the West?
I take that as a yes.
Look, they're scary.
Yep.
They're scary. And I know we're always going to get the comparisons of the Lakers and Clippers, and rightfully so. But when you look at that Clipper roster from top to bottom, those guys are filled. It's a team that's filled with guys who eat meat raw.
You got dogs.
Like
raw.
That. Love that.
They eat meat raw. Mm-hmm. And they added a couple more who do the same thing.
They did. Okay.
So if they are healthy going into the postseason, to me, it's hard to argue that they're not the favorites. Mm. It's just hard to do that. My only concern is I'm going to bring up a play that happened a couple games ago. Did you guys see Kawhi
Leonard? Oh, yeah, we saw it. We talked about it.
Transition, looking for his teammate, Shamet, who stopped and, stopped him with the three.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows me that they're still not used to playing with each other.
Sure.
There's not enough reps. Yep. There's not enough time.
Rhythm.
Yeah, the rhythm. And during this, I know it's February, it's still early, but you would expect to have those things kind of, down to a scientific T right now. So if Kawhi is going to continue to take the load management off, I'm a little concerned that if they go into the postseason, is everybody going to be on one accord? Is there enough time? And then with that being said, Doc Rivers came out and said that Kawhi is going to be starting off guarding some of these, the top perimeter guys. So which lets me know that he's going to start, you know, getting him ready for postseason action and postseason responsibilities.
I hope he do a better job against those guys than he did against Jason Tatum.
Well, that's Jason Tatum.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
You don't have to see. You don't have to see Tatum until.
That's a good touche, because that is Jason Tatum.
That is Jason Tatum. Yeah. Tatum is special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very special.
Even special for a two-time defensive player of the year? The best player in the NBA, the Claw?
Yes.
Got his own signature shoe?
Yes.
The Terminator?
Yes.
Feels no emotion, has no pain, feels no emotion.
Did LeBron James take Jason Tatum on Sunday? One possession.
Skip.
He ran from it. I don't want no part of that.
I guarantee you, had LeBron James been 28, because LeBron James ain't ducked nobody at 28. Huh. The man sat in the chair endless amount of time.
All I heard last night on TNT is, he looks like he's 28 again.
He looks like a lot of things. But see, here's the thing. You heard me. I don't know if the fans, I want to get back to what Chris said. He used two qualifiers, if and when. Mm-hmm. If they're healthy, when they're healthy. Now, coming into the season, all I heard is from you.
And you too, Chris.
Uh-huh.
AD, you know AD, he ain't played, you know, he missed 15 games here. Oh, he writes everything down. He like go to his notes like this, Chris.
Yeah, he
missed 15 games here. He missed 13 there. Uh-huh. He missed 17.
Yeah, and last night he banged his arm up against the glass.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes left, and he's writhing on the floor.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, here we go again.
And then LeBron.
Well, he toughed it out.
Yeah.
Shook it off.
And then, Chris, you just mentioned that. You know what he did? Uh-huh. LeBron James, 58,107 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That was he played 1,500 games.
Yeah.
Coming into the season, all they talked about was AD and Bron. And now, lo and behold, Paul George, Kawhi, and Pat Bev have the... My grandma has a saying, Chris, the tree that's leaning the furthest doesn't always fall first. Oh, LeBron in the year 17, AD been nicked up. But they make it seem like Paul George is Iron Man, like he AC Green.
Uh-huh.
He ain't never missed no game.
We already
know what Kawhi gonna do. Pat Bev, you make it seem like Pat Bev, 22. So, Skip Bayless, I don't do no caveats. I don't do no qualifiers, no if. We the best in the West, and Bill Parcells said it best. You are what your record says you are. What do our record say? But it don't speak. What does it read? 44-12. 44 up, 12 down. Five clear of the basement dwellers. So when y'all come up, we're going to let you up in a little bit. But right now, we got our foot on your neck. Stay down.
The other night was only the fifth time all year they had their whole roster together and at Doc's beck and call, where he could mix and match everybody down that bench.
That's the Grizzlies.
Fifth time. And after this man ridiculed the Clippers for losing three in a row.
Three!
Three in a row. He was ready to write them off like they're going to miss the playoffs. They come out having gotten Paul George and Patrick Beverley back for the opening tip against Memphis, which is, they're a fine young team. They're hanging right in there in the eighth spot. Okay? It was 40-14 after a quarter. 40-14. And Kawhi Leonard just went off in the game in the first quarter. He scores 16, and here we go. And by the way, just a real quick note, because the quiet force, who is Kawhi Leonard, has been on a quiet tear over the last 16 games. Nobody notices because nobody cares. It's Kawhi Leonard.
But 16 consecutive games or 16 games?
His last 16.
Oh, which he played. Oh, you see what he did there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm watching.
11 of those 16 times, he's gone over 30. So he's averaging over those 16, 31 points, shooting 40% from three and 91% from the line. And very quietly this year, he's 90% from the free throw line, which is a career high, and has a career high 8 rebounds.
This is impressive right here.
This is stuff. This is real stuff.
He doing all that career stuff. Yeah. And guess what? Those are the season that he's having, that's the ninth best season LeBron James has ever had in his career.
Wait, has LeBron ever shot 90 from the free throw line?
No.
Oh, has he ever shot 80 from the free throw line? No.
And with all that said, Kawhi Leonard's having career years, and that's the ninth best season in LeBron James' 17-year brilliant career. Let that sink in for just a second, Skip.
Let this sink in, because I agree with my friend Chris Haynes. Your only hope is that this team does not stay healthy long enough to gel. Because if it gels, if it starts to click,
Okay.
You are sunk.
Okay, since we doing ifs, what if Kyle Kuzma becomes that third scoring option that they thought he could become?
You know and I know that ain't happening.
Okay, so you see? So I'm supposed to believe
that this is happening.
What?
They're back. They're healthy. I'm going to knock on wood for them, but Paul George looked like he could move.
But this is my look. The Lakers, right, you know, you could say best team in the West, record-wise, whatever. But when I look, Shannon, when I look at the matchup, those two teams playing, I just see bruisers on the Clippers. I think they can inflict pain up on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I don't see, when I look at that Lakers roster, I got all the faith in LeBron James. I got all the faith in Anthony Davis to be able to play. But even with AD, I just still think they have a lot of bodies that can throw at him that can cause some pain, like multiple bodies. And that's where I think that dog mentality.
Mm. We're going to cook them. Mm.
All of a sudden,
Trez, we got to get to it. Y'all love Trez Harrell, but we got to get to it.
When you round out this roster with Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson.
We got Keith. Woo. We got the evil twin.
We got Keith. That's the evil twin.
We got the evil twin.
Marcus pretty evil himself now.
Yeah, both of them. I can't tell them apart.
Unfortunately for you, you got the second twin.
I think Marquise is the oldest. I think Marquise is the oldest.
No, but you got inability, the second twin, and you know it, and I know it, because the other guy will take and make big three-point shots.
That's all right.
You want to talk about big.
I mean, we're working out. I mean, it's going to take a while. I mean, Skip, you got to understand. I mean, we coming from Detroit. So, you know, we got to understand there's a different expectation now. But to give a couple of games, Thursday night, we're going to.
Okay. A couple of games.
So all I know is that the poor Memphis Grizzlies came out with a rookie point guard, and they got absolutely bullied. Yeah. They got suffocated.
Yeah.
They got just physically moved off the floor and managed to score a
we softened them up for
quarter
y'all.
Low 14.
We softened
points.
Them up for y'all.
Oh, really?
Remember what we did the other night to them?
Yeah.
Oh, GOAT. We're back at it.
Oh, GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
GOAT's
going to
be up
him?
Against this team. And by the way, coaches, let's see, Doc.
Well, okay.
Dr. Vogel. Dr. Vogel.
Yeah, you got know. That.
You make it seem like Frank Vogel ain't never coached in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Vogel's doing unbelievable.
You're doing unbelievable job. Coach of the year.
Coach of the year. Good job.
We're going to see that matchup. Clippers and Lakers, they will meet.
It's happening.
And Skip will be 5Ks with Duke. Because I bet him at the beginning of the year. I think I got you, too. 56 games.
What, you bet me?
I
went against the Lakers?
You said they were going to win 56 games.
Oh, that? Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I will get my five back on 75% from the free throw line.
Oh, really?
Right?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that one
75%.
Is 75%. You were really confident that day.
I was.
75%?
But, hey, you should double it. Because I think we're going to win 60 games. I think we'll win 60 games. Don't you think you
think that? I think, yeah, that got definitely shot. Definitely
you
shot.
Know what? I say good luck to you.
I got
to
ask this question real quick. I got to ask the question. No, it's off topic. How the hell did Tim Tebow make the rundown today?
Yeah, that's what I see. You
Chris,
you know why?
Come on.
What?
Because
what?
We wanted people to watch the show. That's why.
I love it. Late for that one.
Okay, the Angels and the Dodgers invite me to spring training. I just want to hit a home run.
Are you ready?
I'm going to show them I got pop. Mm-hmm. And 52, almost 52. Still got pop in the back.
You got that's the it bad. Factor.
Well, our viewers are saying, they're talking about LeBron. No mercy.
Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson each made huge leaps in their second year, both winning the MVP. Cliff Kingsbury was blown away by Kyler Murray in his rookie year and sees a similar path. Kingsbury said, quote, I'm hoping that during year two, he can take a big leap like Mahomes and Jackson. So, Shannon, do you like they said this?
Oh, my goodness. Can we start with hopefully you can make the playoffs. How about that? Can we start with that premise, Skip? I mean, I'm not sure Kyler has around him what Lamar does. First of all, the organizations are totally different.
I'd say.
Steve Bisciotti, who owns the Ravens, I know very well. And Clark Hunt, the Hunt family, own the Chiefs. Very different than the Bidwell family that own the Cardinals. Let's start with that.
Great point.
The weapons that Lamar has and my homeboy has are entirely different. The offensive lines, which need what Arizona really needs, and plus he needs some more weapons also, but he got to get protected. And if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm sitting back in the cut and say, okay, when you going to take that jump to Andy Reid and John Harbaugh while you over there bumping your gums talking about me? When you going to do what you do? Yeah, this is not normal what we're seeing here. I know it happened in back-to-back years, basically first-year starters in their second year winning the MVP award, Skip. But you know, you've been around this game. You've covered this game longer than I played. And I played it for 14 years and covered it for a number of years.
Yep.
This is not normal. It happened back to back, but these are anomaly seasons. You look at some of the great players. There's only been a handful of guys in their second year, their first full year starting. Dan Marino, Lamar and Mahomes. I think Kurt Warner is first. But this is not, you know, but the NFL's been 100 years. So you talk about something that's only happened four times in 100 years.
Yep.
And he expected it to happen again, you know. So we're going to do it three consecutive years. In Oklahoma, you thought you were going to get three straight Heisman Trophy winners.
We came
close. Oh, Joe Burrow put a stop to that.
He did.
If Tua would have got it had Tua not gotten hurt. But
wrong.
We talk about that another day at a time. But no,
by the way, Jalen Hurts is a quarterback and will start in the National Football League.
And he should.
He is not a wide
out. Yeah, like, I wish I might try out for something else. Right. Been playing quarterback. If I can't succeed at playing quarterback, I think about it.
Yeah.
But I ain't thinking about it before I do it.
Fair. Yep.
So, Skip, look, at the end of the day, I understand what he's trying to do. Hopefully he can take that jump. But without an offensive line and some help around him, he ain't taking that jump. He just hoped to make the playoffs. Where did he go last year? 5-10-1?
They tied Detroit to start.
Okay, so 5-10-1. So if they can 8-8, 9-7 be a great jump. Skip, that's a tough division they're in. Seattle's not going anywhere. San Francisco, the Rams.
They're not.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury was talking about a team jump. He was talking about an individual jump.
Right.
But to your point, the degree of difficulty operating here last year, this was the worst team. Patrick Mahomes fell into heaven,
right,
like into Andy Reid heaven, with the weapons unlike any other quarterback
right
has.
Right.
And so it was golden.
They were a playoff team before they drafted Mahomes.
They were a playoff team. They had Alex Smith. And they were pretty good.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they got real good. And the Baltimore Ravens were pretty good.
Right.
And John Harbaugh's been there a long time, and he's really good at what he does.
Very good.
And Ozzie was at the end of his run, but that was his last pick.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been his best pick ever, right? Well, it probably is. Okay, way to go, Ozzie. But Lamar was blessed, man,
right,
to fall into that.
Yep.
With that defensive mentality, and he found a coaching staff that was willing to say, hey, we'll do this for you.
But guess what, Skip? The difference is that Patrick Mahomes sat his entire rookie year with the exception of the last game. Lamar Jackson was sitting until Joe Flacco got hurt.
Yeah.
So they had luxury to sit, learn, observe that Kyler Murray didn't get the benefit of doing. Here you go, Kyler, take it away. So he didn't get an opportunity to sit and learn and do things like that.
Okay.
So it's going to be very interesting. Can he? They better get some offensive line, Skip. He's a small man. He played better. I think he did better than I thought he did. I'm willing
Glad
to say.
Glad you said that.
He did better than I thought he would. But they got to get him some offensive line to protect it.
All I needed was 1 year under Cliff Kingsbury at the University of Oklahoma. Obviously, he was there for two, but he had to watch Baker for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But all I needed was that body of work, including the Alabama game in which they were completely mismatched defense to Tua's offense, mm-hmm, to say, this little man is extraordinary, and he's going to be not good, he's going to be great at the next level. And I believe Jenny was right there with me.
Yeah.
And I thought he was great last year, given what he had to work with. Because this little man is as extraordinary on his little level as, let's say, Tyson Fury is on his huge level,
right,
where it's freakish what he's pulling mm-hmm off as such a little man. He's
right
a stout little man.
Right.
But he's got a whip of an arm and a lightning release. He's also got lightning feet, which Cliff Kingsbury did not utilize last year to the extent he should have. And I think they'll weave that more in.
I don't think so, Skip.
No,
I don't want it. Skip, yeah. Don't chance it.
Hey.
Because of the size.
Yeah.
I watched all those games at OU.
So
I watched all those games last year. I've never seen him take what I'd call, forgive the language, but like a kill shot,
right,
like a career-threatening
right
shot where I
right
said, what are you doing? Lamar?
Yeah.
Lamar will throw
yeah
himself into harm's
but
way.
But the thing is, Skip, is just that sometimes it's not the one punch, it's the accumulation of constantly being, you know, pushed right down, falling off.
Well, now there's the sack accumulation because
yeah,
he was getting beat up,
exactly,
getting hit.
And even when he got the ball out, Skip, if they still push him down or fall on
yeah
him, that adds up. So you try to keep him out of harm's way as much as you possibly can,
okay,
knowing that he has the legs to get out of harm's way if need be.
Okay. So given the fact he had little to no supporting cast, mm-hmm, Larry Fitz, he's all-time great,
yeah,
but he's nearing
yeah
the end.
But he,
okay?
Yeah, he's
not what he was.
Role.
Kyler still went 56 QBR, just a little above average, but better than Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Baker or Philip Rivers.
No. Yep. I ain't going to let you gloss over that. Yep. No. The second name that you said, I need you to say that with him.
Aaron Rodgers.
That was the first name. I need the second name.
Patrick, no.
He did.
Okay, now we go catchable passes, which I think is a huge stat,
right.
Like an underrated stat. He was 10th in the league in catchable passes. Well, that's better than Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees and Lamar and Deshaun and Russell Wilson. He threw a bunch of catchable balls that hit people in hands. He had a bunch of drops. He even finished 11th in air distance. So he's not dinking and dunking. He's throwing it up the field. And for him to come out and lead them back to a tie of the Detroit Lions on opening day, it's extraordinary. I got to tell you, it's hard to do as a rookie first year.
Yeah, it's hard to win in this league.
Okay.
Rookie at any level, but he did better than I thought he would.
Think about this. He beat the Falcons. He won at the Giants. He beat the Browns. And he won at the Seahawks. Okay, those are like way to go,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then he played the Ravens to the wire, 23-17, and lost. And he played the 49ers to the wire, 28-26, on that Thursday night. It was a hellacious battle.
Yeah, that's when old Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was, they hung in so many games where I'd say, that was really good. Because, as you know, it's really hard to start in this league, especially. It's why there's all this talk about, should Joe Burrow say no to Cincinnati and try to force his way out? Do you want Joe Burrow to go to Cincinnati? He's an Ohio kid. What do you think is going to happen in Cincinnati next year? He'll probably have a hard time.
Nothing good happens in Cincinnati.
Okay, well.
Especially for, no, let me take that back. For the Bengals.
Yes.
That's a hard position to
be in. I mean, it did once upon a time with Boomer.
Boom. But
yep. And Kenny Anderson.
I mean, think about it, Skip. Even Carson Palmer's like, you know what? I had enough.
He did.
Let me go. I got to go. I can't do it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So could he make an individual leap in year two? Sure he could.
Yeah.
But Skip, their individual leap was like we had never seen before. Pat Mahomes with 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson with 1,200 rush yards, 3,000 passing yards, and 36 touchdowns passing.
Okay. Give Kyler CeeDee Lamb and see what starts happening.
Oh, I love that idea.
Just see what starts happening.
You better give him an offensive lineman to protect him.
Fair enough. That is so important that we don't talk about.
Yeah, you know, a Tom Ford jean jacket in Antarctica don't do you much good. You're fashionable, but you're going to be freezing your butt off.
Looks
you better get
good.
Something to protect you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I like that.
Like the old Montclair, like I be wearing.
A jean jacket didn't do you any good yesterday on Undisputed.
It was Monday. I think it was nice.
Yeah.
Man, I be getting, everybody like, man, where you get that jacket from?
Everybody said
that. Yeah.
Three people on Twitter said that.
No. They on IG.
Everybody.
IG. They liked it in the jean.
Are you like sponsored by Tom Ford?
As a matter of fact, Jenny gonna buy Matt one.
I wish I had the funds to buy a Tom Ford jacket. If you want to give me yours, let me know. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.